plans to prosper us, not to harm us, plans to give us hope and a future. And the problem is that we're living in a world that offers us very little hope and very little future. Every time you turn on the TV or you listen to the radio or the internet or looking into magazines, advertisers are telling us, bombarding us with what's wrong. We've been told what's wrong and they've got the solution. If you go to the doctor, you can go with a little cut on your finger and before you know it, you've got 3 months to live and that's it. They give you the worst scenario every time. They don't ever give you any hope or any future. No wonder people are just so confused about life. But I want to remind you that God has got a plan for every one of us. You know, no matter how old you are or how young you are, God has a plan for you. And when that plan has been fulfilled or basically you've turned your back completely, God will take you home. But until God takes you home, he's got a plan for you. The problem is he's looking for people that are going to give their whole selves to him, not for people who's going to negotiate. God's not in the negotiating issue. He doesn't deal with terrorists, as it were. And without God, we're a terrorist to him. The Bible says that before we knew him, we were enemies of God. You know, we turned out that we were an enemy of God. And God's not in the negotiating business. He's not trying to make us a little bit better. He wants to transform us completely from the inside out. He don't want to just upgrade you a little bit. He wants to completely change you. And that plan that God's got for you is a plan that totally fits your circumstances. I've mentioned this before, so sorry if you heard it, When I was growing up, I wanted to become a soldier. I'd lined up to go in the paras. I'd done the weekends away. I'd done the initial test to go in there. I was what they were looking for. In fact, they thought I'd make a great sniper because I could look somebody in the eyes and it didn't faze me at all. That's their plan. That was my plan for my life. But God got hold of me. And God got me to be his soldier, not the Queen's soldier. And I'm not being funny, but if I'd have gone into being a soldier, I might have had lots of different things, but I wouldn't have had my two kids, I wouldn't have had my wife, you know, and I wouldn't trade them from anything now. I couldn't see that at the time, but God could, I wouldn't have been here. And yet God had a plan for my life, and it took me to get to... In fact, I was standing on a platform in army gear when somebody says, this is what God says to you, you want to be a... You know, God says that you want to be a soldier... for the world, but God said, I want to make you a soldier for me. And he said this, and it's always told me, you're going to go where pastors fear to go. And he's led me into a place where pastors fear to go. I feared no man or anything. Women and snakes, I'm kind of cautious about. But as a whole, I'll go where God sends me. But God's looking for people who are not going to negotiate with him, but are going to say, God, whatever. I mean, at the end of the day, we might have 105 years on this planet. Not left, I mean you might, if you live that long. I don't know how old you are. And then the day's coming when we'll all stand before God. And when we all stand before God, he'll open a book and he'll be looking for people whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Those people's given themselves to him. Those people said, I'm here for you, God. And he'll look down there and he'll say to you, you know, he'll look and see if your name's there. And if your name is there, he'll say, welcome, good and faithful servant. And you might look going, God, I've not done much for you. He says, no, you've been a good and faithful servant because I had a plan for your life, a plan to prosper and not to harm you, a plan for good in your life. But if your name's not in that book, he'll say, depart from me. I don't know you. And it says that they'll go away to where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's angry people. But God says, I've got a plan for you. My plan is for you to come to me. You see, Jesus, we often look at Jesus' life and hundreds of years before Jesus was even born, Ruth read a few verses from the Bible, but there's a few more in a few chapters later. And it says he took our iniquities and he carried our sorrows. All the sorrows and our sicknesses, he carried with him. When it talks about it's going to the cross. The reason why he can have a plan for you and for me is because God himself came to earth as a baby, grew up, never did anything wrong, and yet people hated him. And he went right the way to die on a cross. And it says that surely he took our infirmities, he carried our sorrows, yet we consider him smitten by God, smitten by him and afflicted. We thought God's anger was on him, and actually it was. But not because of Jesus, because of me. and because of you. See, God had a plan for every one of us, but the problem was our sin, our selfishness, me, me, me. And he took the selfishness and the sin of my life and he put it on Jesus. And Jesus went to that cross and he died in my place. You see, people say he died for everybody. Yeah, he did, but he died for me. And he died for you. And when I see Jesus on the cross, I'm not that much into the Catholicism and the crosses, but whenever I do see a figure of Jesus, I always imagine that's where I should have been. And yet Jesus stood in the gap for me. But he took my sorrows, and he was smitten by God. And he said he will pierce for our transgressions. He will run through, other translations say, for my wrongdoing, trespassing. You know what that means, going where you shouldn't, doing what you shouldn't do. And he was crushed for our iniquities. And he was and the punishment that brought peace to us was upon him. See, Jesus took not only my sin and my place, he took God's anger for me on him. And when he said on that cross, when he were hanging there, he said, "It is finished," and he bowed his head. It was finished for me. So now, 2,000 years later, nearly, God has a plan for me and a plan for you because of what Jesus did on that cross. When he said it is finished, he cleared the debt. And for every one of us, that we can come before him. But God isn't, like I said, he's not looking for people who want to negotiate. He's not looking for people who go, "I'll have a little bit of you and a little bit of this and a little bit of that." God says, "It's all me or nothing." You can't hold onto God and anything else. Now, when you first become a Christian, you're kind of working it through and you're learning about God's love and compassion. But one thing I've learned, I've stood with many men and many, well, lads in those days and men since then, when there's been trouble, and I've stood with people and they've run. But Jesus has promised he will never run. He will always be with me and he'll always be with you. You see, friends come and friends go, relatives come and relatives go. You have a fallout, things happen. My mum's side of family, they fall out for years. My dad's side of family punch each other and get over it. So we're kind of caught between that. But God's way of doing it is, "I will always be with you." When everybody turns their back, God says, "I have a plan for you." And he continues and he says, "By his wounds we are healed." So God's not just looking out for just heaven. He's looking out for us down here. He wants to look after us. He wants us to stop beating ourselves up and start putting our trust in him. The verse that Marjorie said, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding," is because we can't work it out. Why did God die for you? "Well, I don't understand it." Well, trust him. See, I've been on both sides of the fence, and so has probably a lot of you guys. You've been a part of your life when you weren't a Christian. You gave your life to God and now you are a Christian. And you talk about the difference of what God's done. But what else does he do? He made a plan for you. He just didn't bring you over to the other side so that we could sit in church and sing songs, as okay that is. But a plan and a purpose. And he's looking for girls and boys, men and women that will stand up and go, "I'm in. I want to go for it. I want to be a soldier for you, God. I want to be somebody who stands up tall. I want to be somebody that will take it." God's looking for people that will risk all for him. You see, we've been told that come to Jesus and he'll make everything happy. Let me readdress that and say, come to Jesus and all hell will break loose. But Jesus says, "I'll be with you. I'm going to give you a shield of faith to carry, a sword, the word of God in your, an helmet on your head." So these are spiritual terms. A breastplate of righteousness, a belt of truth. I'm going to put Doc Martens of the gospel upon your feet. And you're going to march out there and stand your ground. And it says that even the gates of hell can't contend with it. You march forward. You see, God knows who you are. The demons know who you are. But sometimes we don't know who we are. But we are a child of God. And Jesus did everything we ever needed on the cross so that he could make a way for us to get to him. And then he gave us a plan. You see, I don't want to leave my life just in mediocrity. When I die, I want to be a world changer. Not when I die, before then. And I believe God's looking for world changers. People are going to say, "I'll stand. Come what may." People might laugh and go, have a go at you. They may punch you. They may kick. They may disown you. But he's saying, "My plans for you are good plans. What the world has for you is a world of no hope. but I can give you hope. I can give you a future, but not just a future here, but eternal future. And the good news is that when you get sold out for Jesus here, there's great rewards there. If you get saved down here and you're not sold out for Jesus and you've just meandered through life, you'll still get to heaven, but miss out on so much. I think there's a verse here for somebody, and it says this, that you need to enlarge the place of your tent and stretch your curtain poles wide. Sorry, you need to stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Stop holding back. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. Start expanding on the inside. Start trusting God. There's no point waiting until you're 95 and hopefully I'll remember what you've said. Guys, I was in my late teens when I gave my life to God, and it radically changed my life. And like I said, he's not in for the upgrade, and he's definitely not for the negotiation. But business is business with God. And he says, give your life to me and you'll never be the same again. He'll put you on a radical, radical life. I mean, we're living in a dangerous time as a part of Christians around the world. And at times can be dangerous in our country. But Jesus says, will you stand for me? See, many people go abroad as missionaries. They're saying, I'm looking for missionaries from this country. And what God's got for you is a good plan with a good future. And that's something to shout about, isn't it? It's something to get excited about. I often think no matter how bad life gets, one thing I have got is a hope of glory. And sometimes it gets that bad where I'm hoping for glory. I'm hoping, but he still has a plan for me. And one day he said, not only will he always be with us, but one day he'll come back for us. The Bible talks about, in a sense, a bride waiting for the bridegroom to sweep her off his feet. And that's one day Jesus, I know it's a bit girly sometimes, but really Jesus is going to come back on a big white horse. And especially you ladies who've dreamt of stuff like that, he's going to come on his horse and he's going to sweep you up in his arms and he's going to carry you. And for us guys, just get used to it. Suck it up. You know what I mean? It's a bit girly, but we're part of a bride. It's just where it goes. Imagery. But in that, not only did Jesus take my place on the cross and where I should have been, he was buried and I was buried and you were buried and he was resurrected to life and we have new life in Jesus. But not only were we resurrected to new life, the Bible said he ascended into heaven and he's seated at the right hand of the Father. And in Ephesians, on a number of occasions, it says that we are seated in Christ. Where is Christ seated? In heavenly realms. Part of us is already there. I don't know how that works, guys. I am not that great theologian. I don't really get it all. But one thing I know is that part of us is already there. And part of God is with us. Well, the wholeness of God is with us. The Bible says that the devil cannot have a go at you now. In 1 John. He can't come against you. Only if you let him. That kind of really sobers us up. But one thing I do know is that plan that God's got for you is better than any careers advice you ever got from school. It's better than what somebody else's ideas, parents or anything like that. It's a great plan. It's an awesome plan. And I don't know what it is, so don't come asking me, what's the plan God's got for me? It's contained in the pages of the Bible. Get wisdom and advice from other people. But God will speak to you direct. I'm going to finish with this. A story. I was preaching over at Huddersfield. And I'm preaching there. And I just looked at a guy. I got a guy's picture made. And he was playing piano. And I'm not a big lad. And he was smaller than me. And I said, where's the lad at? Or on the piano? Keyboard. And he was sat as far away from me as possible. In the corner. Right at the back. And he waved. So as I stand up. So he stood up. I said, this is what God says to you. And I don't really do that so much throwing things out, but I just said, God says to you, you are a giant on the inside. Now, I actually believe that most Christians are bigger on the inside than they are on the outside. I said, you're a giant on the inside, and God has given you and he's building in you a backbone of steel to carry awesome way. And I said this, and I said, people are trying to tell you to go one way, but in your heart, you know God's got a plan for you, and you've got a purpose. His mum and dad sat right in front of me. His dad's looking really angry and his mum's in tears. And I'm like, God says over there, and they're staring straight. But I looked at the pastor, and his mouth wide open. So I carried on. Then I finished and carried on preaching, finished to end. Now, and I says, if you want a prayer, then you can come up for prayer. Before I stepped off, his dad had nearly got me by the throat. You know, his mum was there, and the pastor was there. And he says, why? What do you know? I said, I know nothing. What's going on? He says, this afternoon we had an argument. I told my son he's going to university. And my son says, no, I'm having a year out and I'm going on a mission to Cornwall. He said, and you've just said, people are saying this. I said, look, I'm only acting on what God. Nobody said anything to me. And pastor knew me well enough. And I didn't even know the family. And but what happened is he went off to Cornwall. He never came back. He's pastoring his church down in Cornwall. His dad's so proud of him now. And it, when I see him, he said, I'm glad he never listened to me. By the way, if God, if people tell you education is good, it is good. But if God tells you something else, you go with God. I'm saying that because his dad had a plan for him, but God had a plan for him. I had a plan for me, but God had a plan for me. And God's plan is better. So guys, regardless of your age, seek God for, and even if you're on the plan, there comes a point when you need a new plan. Upgrade plan, not upgrade us, transformation us, the plan gets. So I hope that's been encouraging to every one of you. Is that all right?
Yes. Thank
off
you.
The top of my head. God is amazing, but he's awesome. Amen.